My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
He just joined us in the last segment. That was his answer on, is Deshaun Watson playing for his job this week? And we got plenty to get to, guys. Obviously, we're going to get back to some Gardo's talk as the show goes on. This is G. Bush's final hour with me today. But as you guys know, Game 5 tomorrow, it's been moved up to 108. The Fan playoff postgame show with Earl Malden and Mitch Spinell. That's coming up as soon as tomorrow's game ends, hopefully with a Gardo's win. But you just heard it there. It's a football Friday. I cannot recall anybody just flat out having this discussion today.
Right.
Is Deshaun playing for his job this week, or do you agree with Pink?
Well, by the way, you can check out the barbershop 9-1 tomorrow, right before that. You can check it
this
out.
This is a plug-a-thon?
Yeah, this is a great plug.
While we're at it, myself and Spencer German break down the Oregon matchup for undefeated Ohio State and the latest Sons of the Shoe. Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, what have you. Follow Sons of the Shoe today. Had to get that one out, too.
Listen, it works good, man. Now, listen, I like the fact that Pinks just was like, look, nah, it's like a divorce. You know, my grandfather used to say sometimes cheaper to keep her. And at this point, it's just unattainable. Like, you know, there may be a situation where, you know, down the line if he gets injured or down the line if they decide that, you know, he's playing so badly that, you know, he's at risk to himself somehow. But as long as he's healthy, as long as he wants to play, he believes that they're going to have to be able to play him out there. And here's the part that I struggle with a little bit, because as you extrapolate that forward, it's almost like Kevin Stefanski can't even unmarry himself from that situation. In a way, he was able to do that a little bit with Baker and say, we're going to have you play for your contract. And he was hurt, and he kept trotting him back out here because he kept saying he gives us the best chance to win. He gives us the best chance to win. In the end, Baker Mayfield kind of waved the white flag and said, I'm tired just a little bit. I'm going to have surgery, and I'm not going to play the last game. For in this situation, if Deshaun keeps playing poorly and the team around him continues to play poorly, that's the least of your worries. Your major worry is that the locker room smells blood in the water and says, so am I, we getting sacrificed here? We're not going to make any changes? And then that's when the whole soap opera happens.
One thing that I actually like that Kevin does do is Kevin, I think, understands the importance of spacing out these kind of decisions. You know, like, I think you saw him try to give P.J. Walker time after DTR really struggled in that Baltimore game. And he waited the last possible second. And when you lost to P.J., all right, now we're going to go back to DTR. And he really did give DTR a chance. DTR got hurt, and then they went to Flacco. Like, I think Kevin, one area I do think he's super smart, is he understands you always have to keep at least a card in the back of your pocket. I think play calling has been a thing for that for him for a while. Of, hey, my break glass in case of emergency in season if I need it is, I can go and give away play calling duties. Yep. Or, and I think he's used, you know, benching guys in that same vein. I do think that's something that puts him in a uniquely strong position, that whether it's benching Deshaun, giving over play calling to Ken Dorsey, benching Amari, like, you know, any of these things. Honestly, even bringing guys back off injury, namely Nick Chubb, I think he's smart enough to understand. You don't play, it's not like Uno. You don't play three cards right in a row.
Right.
Right? You got to, like, wait that turn. All right, it's been four games. Now I'm going to play this card, and I'm going to wait another turn, and then I'm going to play this card. And you don't play your draw fours all at once. And so, and I can't believe I just made a Uno analogy here.
That,
but you
that
guys,
Uno scheme was crazy. You that know, Uno scheme was crazy.
Yeah, I've done it before. I've done four draw fours, but it's to go out because that's how I live. But it's interesting, man. Like, you can sell me that this would be a logical point to bench Deshaun if Deshaun and the Browns, if Deshaun plays poorly, again, plays closer to Washington than did Vegas, and they lose on Sunday. Because you're coming back home. It's a divisional game, so it's the last of your NFC games up until the Saints game. So you got a three-game stretch here of AFC North, AFC North, AFC West matchup here. And it's three straight home games where it hits you in the box office if you're losing. So if it weren't for the contract, I could see and I could understand the idea that somebody could come out and go, man, Deshaun better have a good game on Sunday or it's over.
You know, I'm going to go back to what Adam Kaplan said. He said something, and it kind of flew under the radar. He said, it's not his arm. He still can fling the ball. He still can throw the ball. It's his confidence in the mental aspect of it. And one of the things that, you know, when you do still have talent, the one thing that's in the back of Kevin Stefanski's back pocket is almost like the wild card, right? And Uno, you're like, I don't have a bunch of yellow in my hand, but all I do have is a you know what of green. So I'm gonna change this. I'm gonna change this to green, and now I'm gonna reverse it too. So let me go back and do some other things. And then what I mean by that is, Deshaun Watson buys you three more weeks if he plays well and they win, because what you can do. Wins are sobering and wins are like wild cards, right? It changes the whole complexion of what you're trying to do. And it says, Deshaun, say he goes out and throws for 275. They get a tough win on the road, but he plays clean football. The sacks are down and he makes a couple of those plays that he made against Las Vegas. And he looks like, wow, well, that was a pretty doggone good game. Now it buys you three more weeks because now you can stack that with, hey, we got Nick Chubb coming back now. Now we got Chubb. We got Watson. I can sell that. Like you can start to put something together. And as much as people don't like Deshaun Watson and the Boo Birds are out, best believe all that gets turned around because they're going to root harder for Nick Chubb than Boo For Deshaun Watson. Let's keep that real.
To kind of follow up on what you said about Adam, I just think there's a lot of people treating the Deshaun thing as like a thing. I think it's five things. I think his arm strength is still good, but his touch is not where it is because he's coming off a massive surgery. That's not an excuse. That's a reality. But that does not excuse everything else because I think confidence is shot. I think scheme is still problematic. I think there's the performance around him. And the fifth thing is he has some natural limitations. Like he is a guy that likes to hold on to the ball a little bit more. He has some, and honestly, natural limitations, bad habits, however you want to say it. All these five things inform it. So like that's what's so like, and I feel the same way about the Browns. Like both are onions. Both are these complex things where if you just say it's one thing, you don't fix it. But you might fix one thing. But then the other might spring a leak. You got to fix each one of those things, and that's what's so tough. Like, I didn't see confidence problems against the Raiders. Yeah. I saw a guy, the easiest way to tell a guy's confidence at quarterback is he looking downfield?
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun was consistently looking past his O-line and looking down the field. So, okay, that's a game where I don't have to worry about confidence. The arm thing was real. There was, especially the beginning of the third quarter, there are times where I don't think he knew exactly where it was going. Okay, scheme. Well, all right, was it a decoy? Was it not a decoy? I'm not going to have that. But performance around him, Nick Harris, huge touchdown, biggest play of the year. It gets called back. Natural limitations. I'd say the fourth down play where he takes the sack that he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that and again, that was another, by the way, performance around him because Zinter got blown up by Wilkins. So it's like We want to make this simple. I just don't think it is. And I'll be honest with you. I think the only way in which it's simple is if Deshaun plays a poor game on Sunday and they lose, the only reason that he's still the quarterback is because of the contract. But if we start looking to how teams think and what matters to teams, I'm not sure the team's going into this thinking, you better play well or I'm bailing on this. I'm not sure. But man, this looks like a lot of scenarios I've seen play out where, all right, you're on the road, you suck, that's okay. Hey, we're going at home. We got to find something different here. And that, by the way, that's every change you could think.
Yeah.
This doesn't just set up for it would make sense in this scenario coming home. The Cincinnati game certainly matters. It's an AFC game. All right, let's start thinking about that. You can say the same damn thing about Ken Dorsey's job. Or Ken Dorsey being the play caller. Or bringing back Chubb, as you had said. So, like, I don't think it's just, is Deshaun playing for his job? I think it's every one of those dominoes that could fall, that draw four that you want to play. I think some sort of change makes a lot of sense if Deshaun doesn't play well or if the Browns lose on Sunday. I just don't know I can guarantee it's going to be Deshaun because the ultimate reverse card, God, I'm doing this too much, is Deshaun's contract.
Yeah, I think, and let's be clear, you know, they're 1-4 right now. This is how early the season is. If somehow they're able to go in and beat Philadelphia, right? You win that game. You get the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. You win that game. You're 1-0 in the division. Think about how all of a sudden 3-4 in 2 weeks has changed the entire complexion of what you're talking about. At that point, you know, the different factions of your fan base grow, right? The Deshaun Watson guys who said it's not all his fault will be in full swing at that point because they are going to say, listen, we played better. We got two more wins, and we cleared up some other things that were holding us back. And then you got guys, and then we'll be back to the point where what are we looking for Deshaun to prove that he's a quarterback? You have the faction that will say, well, listen, we didn't pay $230 million, these three first-round picks, and lose Baker Mayfield over a 2-3 record. That's not what we're looking for. But I do think that it's early enough in the season where it's not inconceivable that after two wins that are winnable football games, that you could be in a position where everything looks different and you look back a couple weeks and say, man, did we really panic?
216-474-0092. Is Deshaun Watson playing for his job this week? Peter in Perrysburg, we're going to get to you when we come back here, but there's a different way to have this conversation about Deshaun, whether it's this week or going forward. And I think living in our fears, if we do that for a minute, I don't think the fear is what you think it is with the Browns and Deshaun. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We are talking about the Browns game on Sunday. Browns versus Eagles. We'll get to Game 5 again, which will be in Cleveland tomorrow, 108 first pitch. If you haven't heard, they've moved it up due to weather. We'll get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But you and I were just debating whether or not Deshaun is playing for his job this week. And circumstantially, there are a lot of things going in the favor of doing that if you were going to do it this Monday, as opposed to getting in the middle of this three-game homestand and doing it. That being said, you and I are in pretty much agreement here that that contract is probably going to preclude you from doing it. And when Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys earlier this week, she started, one, she had a couple of really great points just in general about the state of this situation. But very similarly, she talked about the importance of keeping to play Deshaun and maybe lowering the bar a little bit in terms of your expectation of what you can get out of him.
Well, what did you think after the Raiders game? Did you think that he was somewhat functional in the Raiders game? Because I watched that game, I watched it over, and I felt that he was functional and actually made some decent plays in that game and looked better than he had in many other games that I've seen him play there. And I thought that gave them a little bit of hope. So what if they can get that guy back? What if they can find ways to see if Deshaun Watson can play, let's just say, decent football for now, not great football, but let's say, Raiders football. If they can get him to that point, then maybe you have something to work with. Maybe you have something to build on. If you say right now, one game after that, one bad game after a good game, that he's absolutely 100% finished, you're making a big, big decision there, because that's something that you have to be sure about if you're going to give up on your $230 million, three first-round quarterback right now.
I think the concept of decent Deshaun Watson and what decent Deshaun Watson would do for the Browns, given the noise around this, I think is a fascinating concept for the Cleveland Browns.
You know, I think when I do the math, and you can fact check this, you know, I think that Baker Mayfield played in almost 70 games with the Cleveland Browns, right? 60 some odd games. It took you 60 some odd games in a Cleveland Browns uniform to decide that he was not the guy. So if you're Jimmy Haslam and you theoretically, the coaching staff says, hey, I would like to sit Deshaun Watson. We're going to role play here and see if we can figure this out.
If you tell me I have to sit through 60 games of this, I think you and I will meet in Temecula.
Right. Okay. So if Jimmy Haslam says, all right, Deshaun has played how many games? Is it what?
I think this will be 18.
So 18. So tell me why it took us 60, 70 games to figure out about Baker, but it only took us 18 to figure out about Deshaun. Sell me on that.
It's actually pretty simple. You drafted one guy, and this guy you didn't draft. You got a finished product, or so you thought. You got a finished product.
Okay,
and like entrance point is pretty significant in this.
Okay, so all right, so you need.
You're pretty much spotted 30 games as a rookie. Would you say about 34 games, two seasons roughly?
Mm-hmm.
So that takes about half of it, and then you figure this coordinator changed, that head coach changed, this coordinator changed. I mean, I still think it was ridiculous. We were doing you need to figure out what you have in Baker Mayfield when he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear what you're saying.
So and then Haslam would say, okay, well, look. All right, well, yeah, he did sit out a whole year. Then he was suspended and couldn't be in the building. So that's, I mean, basically 2 years he didn't play, right? And then last year he was hurt. Like, I'm paying the guy $230 million. Not only am I paying the guy $230, I'm giving them upfront checks so we can restructure so we can pay other people. I'm giving them some money. Like, we still got a boatload of money to pay him on the back end. So my thing is, all right, do you think that the backup quarterback is going to be significantly better than what he's doing? If the answer is no, then if I'm the person paying that check, I'm going to be like, no, we go figure this out. Like, I'm not going to pivot. And because here's the thing. I hope people realize, when you pivot, you are basically signaling to the rest of your roster that you have punted. You've punted. This is you all offseason, you've told us this was the guy we were riding with. We were a Super Bowl contending team. So now in five games, you're telling us that you have such a gross miscalculation that you have to scrap it. And go after five games, then I'm questioning whether you're competent, because you made the assessment that this was what it was going to be. I just don't think at this point, theoretically, they're not going to let them make that decision, even if it was one of them.
Can you win with decent Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Your voice shifted a lot there.
I mean,
you went all the way up there. You got falsetto on me.
Decent Deshaun Watson. Decent Deshaun Watson. If you don't have a penalty, he has a game winning touchdown throw of 80 something yards to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, right? I mean, if Vegas is decent, that's a 240 some yard performance with two touchdowns. I would imagine that's a little bit more than decent, but I digress.
You can win with that type of performance, but you can't win if you have holding and people dropping the ball and guys not tackling, all that good stuff. Does that make fans feel comfortable to say that they can win with decent Deshaun Watson? No.
No, because it's not going to be the guy you traded for.
And that's not who you traded for. In the room for error with decent Deshaun Watson is minimal. It's non-existent. You have to play everybody. The defense has to be back elite. Stefanski has to scheme it up every week. And they got, they can't hurt themselves. They have to be one of the most smartest, disciplined teams in the league. And right now, that's so far from the truth.
I'll actually push back. I think you can be competitive consistently with decent Deshaun Watson. But you're not going to win consistently until the defense fixes their obvious flaws in the ways they get picked apart. Until the offensive line figures out which run fits they actually can run. Until you can do things like put motion back into this offense, which again, like you want to talk about the correlation between explosive plays in the NFL and motion. You're not running motion. You're also not having explosive plays. Methinks there's a correlation. The running game, like all these things, like this is where, again, Deshaun has not played well enough, and you're not going to get an argument out of me. I thought the Raiders game was great. I wanted the Commanders game to be the next step in that. No, it was a gross step back. So,
let me ask you this. Would you have a qualm if he plays bad next week if they did bench him?
I don't know. Because here's the thing. I just don't think that – I think we're seeing this all wrong. And not be – the goal should be to win.
Right.
And I hate to be this guy that says this. The worst case scenario this season is not – going 3-14. It's not. It's going 8-9 or 7-10 and not having any direction at quarterback.
Or not knowing what's the weakest link.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kevin's calling plays. I don't know if Deshaun is still good. I don't know if we're running the wrong stuff. At 7-9 is too mediocre to point blame at one person, and you're back in the same square. You're just back in the same at square one next year doing the same things.
And okay, maybe Deshaun's not on the roster, or maybe Deshaun is inactive like he's here in Houston and you just kind of bring him along. He works out with you. It's a practice squad situation or the scout team like they did in Houston.
Oh, man.
But you kind of avoid the ridiculous cap hit at least for one more year. The problem is 8-9.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join M-I-D-I. Raiders.com.
Didn't get you any closer to another quarterback.
At all.
Because you don't have cap space to go get a veteran. So you're either going to bring in, maybe try and bring back Joe Flacco at then 40. Or if you're 8-9, are you going to trade up for a quarterback? Because then we're talking about trading another 3 first-round picks to get that quarterback with a roster that then for a decade would have been without a first-rounder for more than half a decade.
And you see why Kevin Stefanski cannot survive that level. Like, you're talking about – and by the way, like, I mean, you're talking about Myles Garrett potentially being like, listen, I've been here all these years. We've not – get me up out of here.
You know what, though? Can I just say – because I've heard this a lot – I'm a little sick of the weaponizing of Myles Garrett because, quite frankly, part of the ideology on moving on from Baker is, Baker and Myles, their relationship isn't good. So if 3 years later, Myles and Deshaun, their relationship isn't good, I'm sorry, Myles. You're part of this mess. And again, I'm not trying to put it all on Myles, but I'm saying, like, these are the kind of, like, earworms that we've placed into each other, and I think the Browns do it too. Oh gosh, we don't want to upset Myles. We got to try and help him win as much as possible. Yes, you do. That doesn't absolve you from making smart decisions or excuse making desperate decisions consistently.
Well, listen, here's I'll say this. The reason why, to me, that's a valid point is because when you miss, and this was an attempt to cover up for the first miss. When you missed on Baker, you had an opportunity to draft Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. You didn't get one of those. Look where those teams are. I understand that you pivoted in the middle and said, okay, we got this great roster. We can't afford to punt on this roster. What can we do? Oh, there's this franchise quarterback that has been traditionally great. He's here. Let's go after him. Now, to me, the move they made, whether it works out or not, was the correct move. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. The only thing, there's a small overlap of time.
Okay.
Where the Browns convinced themselves that they were desperate. Desperate to not pay Baker. Desperate to move on from Baker to find the adult in the room. And because they were desperate to do that, there was only one move they could sell everybody on. It wasn't drafting a new quarterback. It wasn't trading for Jared Goff. It wasn't trading for – no. You had to have a clear upgrade.
Yes.
A consistent entity that you could plug into. So the problem is when you release the report that said – or whomever released the report that said the Browns had told Baker we need an adult in the room, which is bad paraphrasing by me. But yeah, that report severed that relationship. I'm not telling you that it was going to be easy to fix it. But we're adults here. This is an adult-driven business. I don't give a damn if you like Baker. I don't give a damn if he pissed you off. You gave him the latitude to play. You could have sat his ass.
Mm-hmm.
But this continues to be, well, it's Baker's decisions, Baker's decisions. So you don't get credit for giving Baker enough rope to hang himself, the fact that actually happened. You don't get credit for, we're desperate now, so we're going to turn around and give $230 million to 25 lawsuits, and a guy who hadn't played football by the time he got on the field for 700 days.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think in a vacuum, would 32 teams out of 32 teams rather at that time Deshaun than Baker? Yes. But I think that's because Baker helped as well. There were two hands in the steering wheel of driving Baker's stock into the ground. And then there were three hands on the wheel saying, well, there's only one play we can do here. So I'm not trying to do the kind of in revisionist history here thing, but I do think, like, this is another point where we just let the Browns off the hook and said, Baker's an ass clown, let's move on. Well, When you talk yourself into desperation and acting desperate when you're a year removed from a playoff win with a guy, this is where you get.
When you say, people say, well, why won't Jimmy Haslam let them bench him and get rid of him? Because for everything you just said, maybe Jimmy Haslam's like, I got second thoughts about listening to you pretty much usher Baker out the game. Right.
And here's the other thing. Sometimes you got to sit in your filth to learn your lessons. Sometimes, you know, there is no easy button. And the quicker you learn that in the NFL, whether that's Jimmy, whether that's AB, whether that's Kevin Stefanski, There is no easy out button. And this contract is holding your feet to the fire. Tough.
Because who it's
killing is Browns fans. It's not killing you guys. You're just wasting our time. You're wasting Miles' time.
You got kids, right? At certain points of time, kids are finicky about what they eat. At some point, after you've made such, you've been trying to make sure that they want to eat this and you made a lot of concessions, at some point you just say, no, you're going to eat that. That's all we got. You'll get hungry soon enough. You won't starve yourself. You'll eat those vegetables right there because that's the only thing we get, right? And sooner or later, they come around and say, man, you know what? McDonald's ain't coming today. Dad looked like he put his foot down. Right now, ain't nobody here to save you. You got to fix it. You got to make it work. If it's your offense, it's your quarterback, to a certain extent, make it work.
And it's your money. 216-474-0092. Can you win with a decent Deshaun Watson? We're going to get on that. We got a couple calls here. Peter, Josh, you guys next here. But again, can you win with a decent Deshaun Watson? That and what I will say, the great sleight of hand that favors the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. As always, much like the Browns failed to deliver. Yeah. And they kind of profile us like that. They're like, well, you know, we're not going to give Nick extra money, but if we promise free pizza, the damn thing is they're 100% right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I could just go buy some pizza. But when it's free,
yeah,
it hits a little different.
It does. It especially when it's unexpected. You're like, oh, who left these slices in here? Is it my name on these slices?
Yeah, it must be because it's calling my name. So you and I are talking the pre-show there. The great sleight of hand that favors the Cleveland Browns is that the Guardians are making this run.
Yeah.
And I got to say, if I'm the Browns, and here's the thing. This is my personal opinion. I think there's a lot of cattiness between the organizations.
It is.
I think there's a lot of jealousy. I give you instances. I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to put names on it. But I deduce a lot from how people talk. And I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to go any further because I'm dumb enough to say something. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Browns are thankful at this ground fire. And they are rooting for the Cleveland Guardians to make a World Series run. Now, it doesn't save you until January.
Yeah.
But does it get you through mid-November?
Yes.
Because here's the thing. The World Series goes in November, and you're going to have a 10-day halo. Mm-hmm. If the Guardians win the first World Series in Cleveland since 1948. So it gets you to what? It probably gets you to the Saints game, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe the Steelers game?
As we look at no, I think it ends. It don't even get to the Steelers because it's
on the bye.
Yeah, it's on
just
the bye.
Just get randomly saucy about the bye. Well, that is the trade deadline too, right in there. But no, I think if you are the Browns, you are so thankful for this run. You are praying for a Guardians win in Game 5 because here's the thing. Right now, our attentions are divided and people are furious. When that distraction, that sleight of hand goes away, you are not ready for the wrath of Browns fans. And here's the thing. What matters is when it got ugly. It's not like a, well, five-game collapse at the end of the season. What are you going to do? It's not right after the bye, things kind of fell apart. That's still like 8 games. No. You started on screwed. You started
early
with getting paddled, and then you turned around by getting paddled by two bad teams after a win.
Early.
Like, if the Guardians lose, your asses better win on Sunday because it's going to get real uncomfortable real quick.
Hey, listen, they hoping, and plus, it's even better because the Yankees series, it being the Yankees, is going to suck all the oxygen out of the room.
Well, not just that. You go from the Yankees. You beat the Yankees. You could then turn around and have the Mets.
Yeah.
One thing we like doing here is dusting big market teams.
Yeah.
If that's the path to a World Series ring, and again, we're dreaming big here. You got to win Game 5. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, that buys a lot of ground fire for this organization.
And then you might have a chance. Lindor is coming back into the city. And we love a good narrative. We come into that match and you look around and you're like, okay. And the problem is we're at a bad place with the Cavs where the Cavs just ran it back. And we're kind of like, you wake me up when the playoffs get here. If Evan Mobley is turning into a 27-10 guy, I'm down for it, but they're going to have to show me something. So the start of basketball season is not even a new shiny toy, really, for us. I understand the coach is there. So you might got until like maybe after, and the bye week sucks a little bit because you're going to have 2 weeks to talk about how bad you are. Now, this they need this break to happen in the worst way. But if the Guardians lose, God forbid they lose on Saturday, it's going to get ugly so fast because now we're just really going to focus our attention on how terrible this is.
Yeah, that's so not just win on Sunday. If you got a 4-game win streak in you, this is when you do it. If you can,
this guy,
if you can
do you just really asked for that.
The Joe Burrow midseason Houdini.
What?
Like, wait, I don't know. You could win. Be a good time to pull that out your ass if you still have it there.
Anytime. Hey, listen. Here's what would save them. If they could somehow get a Baltimore or a Bengals Baltimore win back to back. It'd be 2 division games, and then you can wave the pom poms and say we 2-0 in the division.
So that means you're 1-5, and then you go to 3-5.
Yeah. 3-5, but
I don't think it's enough.
The season, it ain't enough to save the season. It's enough for people not to just completely burn down the city. Like it's like okay, you can rationalize that, but if you get smoked and you 1-5, and then you come back and you get touched in October against Joe Burrow, and that's at the house. It's over.
Here's the problem, and I put one of these out on my TikTok earlier today.
Make sure you go ahead and subscribe.
Where it was it was Cam Newton being asked about, is it over? And he's like, and then the interviewer kind of specifies whether it's in the head or the heart, whether it's over. And he goes, in my head, I know it's over. And then the interviewer goes, what about in your heart? And he goes, it'll never be over. And I was like, that is how I am as a Browns fan. Like, the season can be over. And I'm going to be like, well, you got 8 games left. All right, let's do it. Let's see where you go here.
7-0 Kool-Aid.
I'm still going to be watching. No, it's not 7-0 Kool-Aid. No.
7-0.
At that point, we're going to be back to where we were in like 2017, where it was like, you better lose this game this Sunday.
Yeah.
But I'm going to watch it because I want to talk about it because I still love you.
Yeah.
But you screw up and win this game and you lose my draft position. And that's what I'm going to be pissed about. That's where we could be if the Guardians go win a World Series. And by the time it matters to talk about the Browns, full freight, no distractions.
What's the record on your show? I know you guys have the pre-staff meetings. What is the record in which you enact, you break glass and you say, we are doing quarterback draft talk?
I'm going to hold out into
what's the record?
Possible second. The earliest, you know what? Thank you. I'm going to do this right now. And then Mac's going to have to remember, or Keith's going to have to remember, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. I am getting to middle age here.
There you go. All right.
The earliest I will be doing mock drafts or welcoming a draft Nick on to talk, if this really hits the fan, December 2nd. Actually, no, December 3rd.
Okay.
All right. I'm waiting till December. That is the kind of, that's how I'm holding out. That is my backbone here.
No Quinn Ewers talk, no Shedeur Sanders talk, no Travis Hunter talk, at least until after December 2nd where they play the Broncos, which they should win that football game. And then you're looking for a beatdown against the Steelers.
That right there. That's ethics right there. G. Bush, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Follow the man on social media at GBush91. When we come back, the 5 at 5.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.